Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to a new episode of Phillies Today with Francisco Rojas. I got you for today's episode. We're going to, we're going to recap a game three. Obviously, it was a must win because if you didn't win, you were out of the playoffs. So big win last night for the Phils. And then we're gonna preview game four against the Dodgers. Again, a must-win elimination, but this is not like a seven-game series where you're down 0-3 and it's a monumental comeback. 0-2 still hard, but it's not as hard. I believe, it's happened eight times in, a five-game series in the playoffs, including, the NLCS back in the day, NALCS, that they used to go best of five. It's not insurmountable. You win tonight, there is a path to it, and you're right back at home for game five. And obviously in a game five / game seven, whatever, in this case, the game five, anything can happen. So that, and then I'll also, we'll do an injury update on Harrison Bader, see where he's at with his left hamstring strain. But just starting with last night, I mean, I'm going to be honest. I didn't know what to expect last night. It's funny. I think we're all, including myself, feeling so pessimistic about the team after the Arizona series last year against New York, and then the first two games against LA, this is all over again. This team's just going to do this to us again in the playoffs. But I think one thing we do forget about is sometimes, and myself included, that on any given night, this offense, specifically talking about the offense, because we always talk about the offense going cold, that this offense can, they can just turn it on if they want. And it started with Kyle Schwarber's home run. So, Phils beat the Dodgers 8-2 last night. I don't know how many of us really saw this coming. There was talk of, I think Topper talked about potentially Aaron Nola, Ranger Suarez piggyback. But, man, Nola goes the first two innings last night. And I'll get to my thoughts on the game in just a minute. I just kind of want to recap for you if you weren't able to watch it last night. It was on late. But Nola pitches the first two innings. Ranger comes out in the third. Immediately on the first pitch, gives up a solo bomb to Tommy Edman. Did not feel good at that point. But after that, Ranger had a fantastic outing after that. I mean, five innings of one-run ball. It was great. And then the offense, going to the offensive side of things, the bats get it going in the fourth inning. Schwarber hits one of the farthest home runs that I think I've ever seen at Dodger Stadium. I mean, Giancarlo and McGuire come to mind when I think of the farthest. I don't think that went that far, but it went a long way. Almost went out of the stadium, I believe. Went over the whatever thing you want to call it out in the outfield, at that roof, I guess, over those seats. And so that happened. Schwarber hits a solo bomb. Same inning, Alec Bohm, RBI single to bring Bryce Harper home. Brandon Marsh would score Alec Bohm on a sack fly. And then Yoshinobu Yamamoto out after four innings. And then fast forward all the way to the eighth inning, Phils had a 3-1 lead for a while. JT would go yard. Trey Turner with an RBI single, and then Kyle Schwarber, another home run, this time a two-run homer with Trey on base, and would get to play off Clayton Kershaw. I mean, it's a shame because, how people are going to be with certain narratives and certain players. Not that there's not that narrative on Kershaw, but Kershaw is one of the best, you know, in this generation. And, you know, you don't want to see Kershaw go out on a outing like that. But at the same time, as a Phillies fan, I think that's how I want him to go out. I think that's how I do want him to go out. As a baseball fan, don't love it. But as a Phillies fan, I'll take it right now. But just thoughts on the game. So the Nola and Ranger piggyback combo, now look, it worked out. And there's, you know, a couple of trains of thought here I've been, you know, working through. I'm not sure necessarily how I feel about it, because it looks like that Rob Thompson was saving Ranger Suarez for game three with the thought of, we want Nola to go, you know, a couple of innings, and we want him to piggyback off of Nola. And I don't know, man. I just feel like maybe there was potential there in game one or game two where he could have came in, considering Ranger Suarez's postseason numbers, you know, from the past 3 or 4 years, that maybe he could have been using a high leverage spot. Not saying the Phillies would have won any of those games, but maybe it would have been a better idea to put him in instead of Kirkering after Lizardo or Robertson after Sanchez. And I know we can do matchup games and stuff like that, and I understand that, but I think Ranger, look, this worked out, and I'm happy about it, but there's also the thought of, like, well, give Nola the ball and let him, you know, let him go as far as he can go. And it worked out, and that's great, but I still don't know how I feel about, you know, saving Ranger for game three when he could have used him game one and game two. And Rob said he was available. But at the end of the day, it worked out. I'm happy about that, that the Phils got the win. But who even knows if that really would have mattered, because the offense was so big and pivoting to the offense being so big. Obviously, it was huge last night because you needed to win the series. You didn't even need to score all those runs because, you know, Ranger and Nola were so good. But at the same time, this is, I think it's not just about last night. This is momentum for the rest of the series, especially in a short series. We know how hot this Phillies offense can get, you know, but behind its big guns, like Trey had a 3-for-5 night. Schwarber, obviously, the couple of homers that he hit last night. Bryce went 2-for-4 with a double, and I didn't love that he did that first to third thing, but it worked out, and he scored on the play, right? So, like, fine. But we know how, and, you know, JT hit a solo shot. Boehm went 2-for-3 with a couple of walks. It's just big because there's only two more games, and you're just worried about, well, first off, you're just worried about getting through the next game so you can stay in the series, but you're just worried about getting to the next round. Like, screw the NLCS, and not screw the NLCS, but you know what I mean? You're just, as hot as this offense can get, hopefully they can just, at least right now, just right now, I'm looking at, you're just trying to stay alive in the postseason in advance. It's big because Schwarber's home run and how good the offense was last night. Hopefully that can be just for another two games here. If that can build some momentum for tonight at Dodger Stadium, who Glasnow, and we're going to get into Glasnow, hasn't had good numbers against the Phillies. And it would be big. It would be big. I mean, it's setting up for, you know, something for this offense to maybe carry them for the last couple of days here. Obviously, you need your starters to do well, because this Dodgers offense is also really good, and the Dodgers offense hasn't had an outburst like the Phillies have yet. They've done enough in the first couple of, you know, games one and game two, but just as momentum for the rest of this series. If the offense decides to do what they did in Seattle, and at times at the end of August and in early September, and, you know, even all the way to the middle of September, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. And it's not just about last night. It's really about the next two games, tonight in LA and hopefully this weekend in Philadelphia, because that's what it's really about. That's what it's about. And this offense can be so good, and we know that. We saw it last night, and that we haven't seen the offense do this since when? since the Arizona series, maybe game two of the NLCS. Is it the last time the offense had an outburst like that? Didn't do it against the Mets. Obviously didn't in the first two against LA. And the you know, games like 3 through 7 against Arizona, that there were a couple of games I think where you maybe scored 5 or 6 runs, but it wasn't, you didn't have offensive outbursts. You didn't have offensive outbursts. And like, that's hopefully, I'm just saying hopefully, just for the next couple of this next two games, hopefully you can just put a stretch here where the offense just gets you through the next round. Again, you obviously need good pitching too. Can't just bank on the offense, but you know, the offense can carry this team at times. We know they can. We know they can. It's still there. It's still there. So, man, what a game three, and Phil's win 8-2. We'll get to a preview of game four in just a couple minutes. Just an update on Harrison Bader. As far as I know so far, Harrison Bader right now is probably not going to start in this DS against the Dodgers. We're not even sure. I mean, I was just reading an NBC Sports Philadelphia article that, you know, it's titled that, you know, don't expect Harrison Bader to be a full-time player anytime soon. It was by Bob Cooney, and it was a great article, you know, explaining that Bader only able to really be a pinch hitter right now, which what he was in game two. Didn't need to use him last night, and hopefully that was a big deal too, just to rest him because the offense was so good. But Bader, it seems like, is only going to be used in pinch hit spots. Can't use him to run. He's like, what, 75-80%? Last time I checked, he was spotted yesterday on the field before the game doing agility drills in the outfield. And he was a game time decision. And Anthony Sanfilippo put out the video of Bader doing the agility outfield drills on social media yesterday, so appreciate him for posting that. And so, I mean, you're looking at, and we'll get into the preview in just a second, probably looks like...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Like, it's going to be, you're probably going to look at the same outfield for us this series, I would assume. It's going to be Kepler in left, Martian in center, and then Castellanos in right. So, you know, Bader, depending on how he progresses here, doesn't look like he's probably going to be starting to, I wouldn't expect it anytime soon, like at least in this series, maybe in the CS if they make it to the CS, but Bader, don't expect Bader to be in, you know, in the starting lineup any, you know, for the rest of the series. That's what it feels like right now. All right, preview of game four, another elimination game for the Phils. So starting pitching matchup, we got Christopher Sanchez on the mound for the Phils, and then Tyler Glass now on the bump for the LA Dodgers. So Sanchez, game one against the Dodgers, he was good. You know, almost went 6 innings, allowing 4 hits, couple of earned runs, couple of walks, 8 strikeouts. Stuff looked good for the most part. And then, you know, went out just before the 6th inning ended. And, but it was a good start, and you were happy with what you got from Sanchez. I would think so, you know, from your ace. It wasn't what Zach Wheeler gave you in game one last year, but still, like, I think Sanchez gave you a chance to win. And as your ace, it was good work. It was good work, I thought, for game one. but it wasn't enough. Unfortunately, the offense didn't really get going besides that second inning, and we know the rest. Tyler Glass now on the other side for the Dodgers. So last appearance against the Phillies was game one, that same game one. Came in relief for Shohei Ohtani. That seventh inning, relatively easy inning. But eighth inning, had left the bases loaded. And I believe Vezia came in, right? And got Edmundo Sosa to fly out. So Tyler Glass now, you know, last time he was out on the bump at all, you know, maybe there's some of that thought there that coming off the mound with like that mindset of like, oh man, I left bases loaded. So there's that with Glass now. And then his overall numbers against the Phillies aren't that good at all. They're horrible. And last time he made a start against the Phillies was April 6th this year. And he didn't even make it out. I think he started the third inning of that game, left the bases loaded, and Castellanos hit a grand slam, and like all those runs were charged to Glass now. Ended up with a line of two innings, two hits, five runs, five walks, two strikeouts. And hopefully that's an indication of what the Phillies can do against Tyler Glass now. If, you know, Glass now's numbers, not good against the Phillies. So that's a good thing, obviously, for the Phillies. Players to watch in tonight's game for the Phillies, I'm going Max Kepler. I know it's not the biggest sample size. In six plate appearances, Kepler against Glass now, 3-for-4, one home run, two walks. So he has, in again, in like a couple of games worth of plate appearances, good numbers. But he's somebody that hopefully can, you know, make his mark in this series. And I can see, remember, Kep against the Dodgers, you know, last month, about a month ago now, right? Goes yard with that bomb, you know, deep into right field, and it was a monster shot. And hopefully Kepler can maybe do something similar like that against Glass now today. He's got the numbers against Glass now. So Max Kepler is my player to watch for the Phillies. For the Dodgers, I'm going simple one here, but I'm going back to Tyler Glass now, just because Glass now is somebody for the Phils that doesn't have great numbers against you. You're going to want to get to him early, like you did on April 6th earlier this season. And that's what you want to do. You want to get back into that Dodger bullpen. So Dodgers, Tyler Glass now. Don't let him get any momentum, any confidence, staying locked in, anything like that. Don't let him get settled in. So Tyler Glass now, my player to watch for the Dodgers. And then keys to a win. I'm going to echo a little bit of some of the things that, you know, I've said here in the last couple of minutes, but we can just go here 1 through 3. Keys to a win for the Phillies. Number one, just talked about it, but let's get back into it for a second again. Get to Tyler Glass now early and get into that bullpen. Really, the keys to this win is, for the most part, a blueprint of what you saw last night. They got to Yamamoto. They didn't get to Yamamoto in the first or second inning, but they did get to him in the fourth inning, and they were able to get him out of there after the fourth, after Dave Roberts felt like it was time to let's go to see what else I got here. So you want to do the same thing to Glass now and get into that Dodger bullpen. Get into that Dodger bullpen. So get to Glass now. Get into that bullpen is number one, key number one. Key number two, do whatever you have to do to score runs. I'm going to sit here and say, like, oh, well, don't worry about homering. Like, yeah, small. Like, I don't care if it's small ball. I don't care if it's what it was for, you know, felt like the most part last night. I mean, it was a mix, but I don't care. If Schwarber wants to go yard twice again, do it, please. If Harper wants to have a big night and go yard three times, please. I don't care what you have to do. I don't care if it's, you know, Bryce, and I don't love Bryce's aggressive base running. Got to be careful in the base paths, but whatever you got to do. Trey driving in a couple of runs. You know, Alec Boehm is somebody that, you know, in the past has been great with runners in scoring position. Get him in. So whatever you got to do. Chill out with the dumb bunting, though. The Trey bunt to start off the night was just almost a poetic start if they were going to lose that game. My goodness. After the the bunt in game two. My gosh. But whatever you have to do to score runs, I don't care. We're going to sit here like, oh, let's worry about smoke. Like, I don't care. We know that this team, when they're hot, they're mashing and they're hitting shots. They're hitting bombs. We know that. So if that's what they're going to do to keep it going, please keep it going. Kyle Schwarber just set it off and hit a first inning home run. How about that? Let's set it off and let's go. So I don't care. Whatever you have to do to score runs is key number two. Key number three. Now, I would love for it to be something like last night in game three, where you don't have to worry about relievers having to come in high leverage spots. I mean, it was great for, I didn't even mention this at all, but it was great for Joan Duran to not come in the game. He was initially going to come in the game and get a couple of innings of work. But after that eighth inning where, you know, that you really added on to that lead, it was more than just insurance runs. That was runs that really made sure you're going to win that game. So you didn't have to worry about high leverage spots last night. But if it does come down to it, and it is a close game, relievers got to do their job in high leverage spots. Strom, you know, Robertson, not great jobs in game one. Kirkering, not great job in game two. I know we could talk about Topper and his decision making. Maybe they haven't been great, but at the same time, like, I don't care. This is your back end of your bullpen. Like, I don't care who you're facing. At the end of the day, this is the playoffs. Sometimes matchups and all those things go out the window a little bit, not all the way. I know it's still baseball and there's still matchups and guys, lefties are, you know, good against righties and righties are good against lefties and certain players are good against certain players. I get that. Well, Tommy Edmonds' numbers were horrible, I believe so, against Ranger, and then hits a solo bomb on the first pitch. So sometimes things go out the door. Sometimes they do. So, but at the same time, like, however long Sanchez goes, and if it is a close game, whether it's Duran, whether it's Strom, whether it's Robertson, whether it's Kirkering, whether it's Tanner Banks, do your jobs in high leverage spots. Do your jobs in high leverage spots, because that's been an issue. And that's a big reason why you have been down in this series still 2-1 is because of those high leverage spots and you're not doing a good job in those spots. So there's my keys to victory. Keys to a win. Get to glass now early. Get into that bullpen. Do whatever you have to do to score runs. And number three, relievers need to do their jobs in high leverage spots. Those are my keys to a win. Around Major League Baseball, we can just do this before the pod is over. So Detroit and Seattle, we're going to get a game five between those two tomorrow, as Detroit, their offense, I mean, just like the Phillies' offense needed to come alive, their offense came alive, scoring 9 runs yesterday against Seattle. So that series is going back to Seattle, where I believe it's going to be Skubal. It's going to be Tarek Skubal. We don't know yet for Seattle. I think it would be maybe Kirby. I forget who started game one for them. But Detroit with a 9-3 win over Seattle in game four, so that's going five. The Cubs got a 4-3 win at home in Wrigley over the Brewers, so that's going to a game four. They're going to try to do the same thing the Phils are trying to do to come back in that series. And then Toronto, they closed out over the Yankees last night after Aaron Judge had a big moment hitting that game-tying 3-run home run, and then the Yankees eventually winning in game three, but they couldn't get the job done last night after Toronto. They are going to the ALCS, where they're going to await the winner of Detroit and Seattle. So, okay, so that's around Major League Baseball, and that's going to do it for today's episode of Phillies Today. Appreciate every single one of you for tuning in to every episode that we ever do here, whether it's me, Kyle Forsini, Dan Buzz Wilson, Justin Morgenstein, all do a fantastic job with the show. So that'll do it for me. Hopefully, I'll be back Monday. Hopefully, we will be back, and we're going to be talking about an NLCS matchup against the Brewers or the Cubs. That's what you're hoping for, right? That's what we're hoping for. So that'll do it for me, and I'll talk to you guys soon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Fee and fees apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.